We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Michael, thank you for joining us here. Damon Ratto and Kolsky, good to have you on again. Today, what do you know? Jimmy Garoppolo, he gives his supporters a lot of ammunition. He gives his critics an awful lot of ammunition. And once again, he gets the Niners into the win column. What a day.
Yeah, it is what a day, man. And if I cough doing this, I apologize because I'm trying to get sick. And I told Sick, I don't have time for you. I don't got time to play.
There you go. It got me last week, man. So power through it.
That's what I'm doing. I'm going to walk right through it. That's what I do. But yes, absolutely. But the reality is, on all of that, you're the quarterback of a one-loss team, and we got a lot to talk about because I talked to you guys about that Russell Wilson game, you know, which was by far for me the best game of the year. That game, San Fran to Seattle, was the best game of the year. I know you didn't come out like you wanted to, and just by that missed field goal,
it was outstanding.
But you got to admit that was the best game of the year.
Oh, it was outstanding.
Absolutely,
I saw a win percentage chart, and it looked like somebody laying in the hospital, like beep, 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 beep. Like either team could have won away.
Right. That's what excuse me. But that it made it so good. All of those lead changes, man, and you knew what was on the line. It was a battle. Everybody's will was laid out in front of you. And it made it so incredible to watch, man. That was just a great game. Now, I don't want you guys to get crazy about what you saw yesterday, you know, and even how it started yesterday and everything, because when you're coming off that kind of emotional high, usually it's tough to turn around and play the next week and then to play a game team like Arizona the next week. And a lot of teams end up losing that game. That was champion pedigree to find a way to win that game coming off that Monday night game. So you got to keep that and measure that and keep it in place where it is.
I know we want to rehash yesterday a lot, but the thing that I wonder out of yesterday is, given the fact that the Packers come to Santa Clara on Sunday night, who do you think we learn more about after that game, Green Bay or San Francisco?
No doubt Green Bay. Green Bay, San Francisco is clearly in that hunt. We did it just the other day on the show, top teams in the NFC, you know, and each we took San Francisco, Seattle, and New Orleans. So that's not Green Bay. Green Bay has to keep proving that they are one of those teams, because right now you would have to say those teams are San Francisco, Seattle, and New Orleans. So I think you learn more about San Francisco. Now, that being said, each time you get in these games, that's another game to learn. You know, we talked about it. We talked about the Rams. When you beat the Rams, that was supposed to be one of those marker games, but, you know, it really isn't. But Seattle was one of those marker games, and you had that game won, yet but by that kick going wide right. And now Seattle, Green Bay will be one of those marker games because similar to what Seattle was, but I don't think they're as good as Seattle, but they do have that quarterback. And with that quarterback, that means they're always in the game. And you're going to have to go through those kind of guys to get to the Super Bowl and those kind of guys when you get in the Super Bowl.
So obviously the team they saw yesterday wasn't that good, Michael, but the quarterback, man, I got to say, Kyler Murray impressed the heck out of me. And just in terms of the way he moves around, we've seen running quarterbacks, we've seen small quarterbacks. I don't recall seeing someone that quick at that position.
Have you not been watching Baltimore?
He's fast. He has moves. He's an incredible runner. But Murray bounces in like a jittery Mighty Mouse sort of way that even Lamar Jackson doesn't. It's different. Is that fair?
Right. Murray has shorter steps than Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
But I don't know that he's any quicker in a short area than Lamar Jackson.
That's fair.
Now, I would put Lamar and Kyler Murray in that class. That's different than Michael Vick or
Kaepernick.
Some of the other guys are the Cam Newtons of the world, because those guys have long speed.
Right.
That's the long speed. But Kyler Murray, Lamar Jackson, you go from 0 to 60. In 60 on, you're flying. But I'm talking about getting from 0 to 60. How quickly can you get to full speed? Those two guys, and the only reason you see Kyler Murray as having a little bit more than Lamar Jackson is because Kyler Murray is a little shorter. And what happens when he's a little shorter? Let me give it to you. His legs aren't splitting apart that much longer, so he's having more ground contact. I used to love when I studied DBs, guys. Let me tell you, I studied their stride. And Deion, what made Deion so hard to play against is when you watch Deion run, he never lifts his legs high off the ground. And that's the problem for me, because I need, if you got ground contact, you got more ability to cut. When you have long strides, you have less ability to cut. So that's when I started learning to lean into guys like Deion, because he doesn't have he's not lifting his legs high enough to have to take an extra step to come back and cover me. So I would lean into him and give him a little elbow to help him go that way when I go the other way, since he's not having ground contact. Kyler Murray, a lot of ground contact, so a lot of quick movement in small spaces. But I say he's similar. Lamar Jackson and him are very similar in the short area. Yeah. They are dangerous. I mean, just flat out dangerous. And speaking of that, guys, and I don't know if you're going to ask me about it, but I want to tell you, all that we're talking about is one of the reasons I was so personally disappointed with what I watched with Kaepernick. Personally disappointed, because look at the guys that we are considering MVPs in this league now. They are all mobile quarterbacks now. The Patrick Mahomes, the Lamar Jacksons, the Deshaun Watt, guys that can move around and do certain things. It's no longer the 3-5-7 step Tom Brady's and Peyton Manning's. And now Colin Kaepernick's skill set fits more into this NFL. Even if he's not going to be a starter, he'll certainly get an opportunity as a backup. But then he pulls this off after the NFL arranged what they arranged. I was personally disappointed with it, because I thought victory for him, and I know a lot of people I talk to consider victory, was him getting on a football team, not making what I call a mockery of the situation. You're wearing a Kunta Kinte T-shirt. Come on, man. I mean, your cause is just. I'm not saying that's not just, because there is a social injustice. But that's not what the owners are doing. The owners in the NFL have made more African Americans millionaires and helped that plight more than anything else in this world. I think more than anybody else, as far as having a skill set and moving forward and being able to get paid for a skill set. I know it's helped me move my family out of the ghettos, that hellhole ghetto at Fort Lauderdale, and it's helped a lot of African Americans. I was just disappointed with that whole situation and how it played out.
I think that your opinion on this is measured, and your experience as a Hall of Famer means that your words matter. I'm sure that you have expressed this and have been called a company man at best, maybe even worst, by some of your peers even. What does that mean to you, if anything?
Well, what I have to be, and there's no doubt, because, you know, me being an African-American, and whenever an African-American situation comes up, there are some things that people expect you to just grab a hold of. Even when I spoke against T.O. not coming to the Hall of Fame, you know, I was called the names that they call African Americans that have a different opinion of African Americans. But I just thought that was right. I thought it was right. The Hall of Fame didn't do this to you. If you're upset that the voters didn't put you in, the voters are not the Hall of Fame. The Hall of Fame, I said to T.O. then, this is about putting yourself out and your family. All of your kids will be able to see this one day. Your great-great-great-great-grandkids will be able to see it and say, hey, what's in him is in me. Let's talk about and think about inspiring them, not carrying on that fight. And people came down on me about that. And I'm sure some people will get upset about this. But I do believe there's a social injustice I just don't think the owners are doing anything against it. The owners are trying to protect their business, and any businessman shouldn't have a problem with that. You know, they're trying to protect their business, and their business happened to employ, what, 80, 90% African-Americans, so they're helping in that way. I gotta be truthful about what I think, and rather I take flack about it or people say things about it, I just have to share the truth. And I thought he would have helped so many more African-Americans by getting in the league, and that'll be considered a win. And instead of calling everybody out, I just don't know if he'll get that opportunity now.
So it sounds like, Michael, you thought he had a real chance to get back in the league.
I thought he had a chance. I know people are talking about this was the reason, and I believe the reason. I'll say I believe because I don't know. First of all, I believe the workout was part of the settlement. Why would you, if you're a lawyer worth anything, why would you not make sure that that's part of the settlement? Yeah, we're going to take the money, but to close this deal, we need an addendum that says he will get an opportunity to work out for teams.
Well, I just wonder if that was the case, why wouldn't it have happened much sooner and under more normal circumstances?
And that I don't know. That I don't know. And
I mean, none of us know is part of the problem.
None of us knows. That I don't know. Because I think that part I will hold against the NFL. Because I think it should have happened before the trade deadline, because that's what teams say, okay, we're set for the run now. You know, at least before the trade deadline, that we're set for the run. That's something I wish would have happened. But the way it played out now, really, are you saying, okay, maybe they had some inkling that would go on? You know, and I'm just disappointed from the standpoint I wanted to see him. And what you're talking about right now is what the league is. His skill set is more pliable now. Even if you're not a starter, you're going to be a backup somewhere because teams want quarterbacks with similar skill set. You belong in the NFL. So many people have been fighting to get you in the NFL. And when you get that opportunity, you have to take that opportunity and make the most of it. And I just don't think that's what happened.
So to close this out, I just want to ask a simple question. Is this destined to end up in a courtroom? I mean, there's no chance that he's going to ever get another look at this or that he wants to get another look at this given the way the NFL handled this last one. So I'm wondering, is this just destined for court and that's how this all ends?
But what is he going to go to court now? He's already settled his deal.
Well, they asked him to waive all of his future rights against suing them, which is one of the reasons why he didn't want to
come of that workout. If something doesn't come of that workout, I don't know that, and I don't know civil law enough to know if you can go back and sue for something you've already sued for and settled on. I'm sure they put that in the settlement that you can't come back for that, because that's what he was suing him for the first time. So I don't know. I don't know if he can end back up in a courtroom.
Michael Irvin here on 95.7 The Game. Week 11 is going to wrap up with Monday Night Football. We got going Thursday night with Myles Garrett showing us one of the least glorious moments we've seen on a football field in a long time, swinging a helmet at Mason Rudolph. Michael, what'd you think of that?
Yeah, that was sad, and I was there. You know, I was doing that game, and I think that's why I'm sick, because of that weather out in Cleveland, to be honest with you. But to see that was awfully sad. And Myles Garrett is a great dude, man. I've spoken with him. I know I've spoken with him a couple of times, you know, even when he was getting drafted, talking about what they expect in the league. Yeah, I work with Joe Thomas. He speaks highly of him as a person. So obviously he just kind of lost himself there in the midst of that brawl. He lost himself and swung that helmet. And what the NFL did, I think, was the right thing. You have to send a message that anybody does this kind of thing, we're not having it. You're gone. Now, he'll appeal, and I don't know what will happen with that. But I felt they sent the right message.
Monday Night Football, if there's a win by the Chargers tonight, the Raiders will be a first-place team. Who would have ever thought? Why is it working for Gruden in year two when it didn't seem to be working at all in year one?
Isn't that crazy how this works? And all of it, I tell people all the time, the skill level, skill set levels, you know, they're not that big, not that far apart. We talked about at the beginning of the year about San Francisco. Okay, do they have the receivers? Do they have this to do things? And I said, we said, hey, if these guys get on a run and they start feeling good about themselves and having confidence in what they're doing, you better believe it. And now that's what they're starting to try to pick up in Oakland. Feeling good. They're buying into it, and they're feeling good about it. And honestly, when you go through something like they went through with Antonio Brown, that brings the team closer together because they feel like everybody's coming after them and attacking them, and they've come closer together. What a great job John Gruden has done to go through all of that and have his team right there fighting. Mike Tomlin, what a great job he's done, even though they lost that game last Thursday night. They lost that game that Thursday night. He still has his team right in there after losing one of the best quarterbacks, one of the best receivers, and one of the best running backs in the league. That's an incredible job. That's what great coaching is, and those two guys certainly belongs in the Coach of the Year talk.
Every week when the Cowboys lose, we end up dogging you in one way or another. But after yesterday and watching Dak Prescott put together yet another 400-plus yard game, do you know what that team is? Have you figured out them yet?
Excuse me. And I think they're figuring it out. You know, this team was all about Ezekiel Elliott in the run game. But every team that comes in here is saying, you're not going to beat us with this run game. We're going to make sure you prove to us that Dak Prescott can beat us. And Dak Prescott has been playing some incredible football. You know, he's been doing what he needs to do. And I've said this all along, that he's finally got his receivers. Before, he was playing with Tony Romo's receivers. Tony Romo and Dez Bryant made a perfect match because Romo was a gunslinger, and he would put the ball up, and Dez was a guy that can go and get 50-50 balls. I played basketball with Dez, man, when he first came into the league. I remember we were both going up for a rebound. And I won all kinds of dunk contests, man, in my years. The Footlock Slam Fest, you can punch it up. Belt Beach Ball Classic with some of the best basketball players in the NBA right now played. I won dunk contests over all of them. But I remember going up for a rebound thinking I can jump. And I jumped, got to my peak. I was coming back down, and he was still going up. I said, oh, my God. I said, it's time to get out of the league, boy. Look at this kid. I'm glad I'm done. This kid is incredible. I mean, he was still going up. So their skill set matched. But now Amari Cooper and Randall Cobb matches. He won with Tony Romo's receivers before. But now he's winning with his receivers, and you're starting to see him take off and become one of the better quarterbacks and one of the top quarterbacks in the NFL.
So just looking at the NFC playoff picture, Dallas is, I guess, still in a fight for the division, but the six playoff teams look somewhat clear of the pack. I'm curious of those next three, the Rams, Eagles, and Panthers, do you give any of them a chance to jump into the mix, or do you think that playoff picture could stay the same from here to the end of the season?
Oh, that's a good one, man. And the only team you could say that would really pull out of that you thought would be the Rams.
Yeah.
And I just don't see it without Todd Gurley being Todd Gurley. And I know he got like 97 yards the other day. That's his second game of 97 yards, even though they haven't had a 100-yard rush yet. But it's not just Todd Gurley because, you know, I was saying something going on with him injury-wise that maybe we're not getting the full story. But it's also that offensive line. You know, they lost two starters from last year when they were considered one of the number one ranked offensive lines. I think now PFF got them ranked like 31st in their offensive line, and now they're getting the injuries at the wide receiver position. I think they're positioned to be the only other team. That's why I said all along that maybe even three teams can get in from the NFC West, but that'll be hard for them to get in. And even if they did get in, I don't know that they can do much damage with that offensive line.
Michael Irvin here on 95.7 The Game. An awful lot of the Niners' young wide receivers have disappointed, but it looks like they got a real one in Deebo Samuel.
Came through, huh?
Man, he had himself a couple of catches in that game. He's just establishing himself as a consistent target for Jimmy to find, and he's the only one of the young guys really separating himself from the pack. back. Emmanuel Sanders, you want to talk about giving at the office. He was playing with all sorts of bruised ribs, and he was really good yesterday.
When that happened, he grabbed his rib, when that ball hit the ground and hit his foot, I knew what it was right away. I've had that cartilage damage just between the ribs. Let me tell you, man, I can't even tell you the kind of pain that is, because breathing hurts. And it happened. I had it when we were playing the Redskins. Something, I got hit there, and I couldn't even breathe. And I was in the huddle, like, just taking short breaths. And I remember looking at him, and I said, I can't go, man. I can't go. Emmett said, how bad are you? I said, man, I can barely breathe. He said, well, I can't run. I can't run. He said, don't worry about it. You don't have to run. They don't know you hurt. Just stand out there and take the double teams. I'll do all the running. They don't know. You know what I mean? So as soon as he grabbed it, I said, that's rib cartilage. That hurts like you do not know what. To try to play through that, you have to be a tough SOB to play through that. And I know Emmanuel's a tough guy, because that's some serious, serious pain. And you're right, Devo is stepping up. When I looked at the numbers, I said, oh, man, he's coming away. Yeah, he's having over 100 yards here. He's playing now. He's starting to make plays. And I guarantee you, having Emmanuel Sanders there is showing him some of the little things. The little things. Like if I'm running a deep end route and I'm running against man coverage, and I got him on my back hip, I'm not going to float any bit. I'm not going to float up the field. I'm going to lose ground. If I run it at 20, I want to catch it at 19. Because if I lose just that little bit of ground, it never gives the cornerback an interception point. You never can cross my face. You are always chasing me. Little things like that are the difference that will get you over the top and make the difference between being good and being great. And I guarantee you, he's learning some of those little things from Emmanuel.
One of my favorite things to do when I'm watching like a pregame show or a post-wrap-up show, I'll look at all the people on the dais and I'll say, do you think any of them are really friends in life? Like, I think when I look at you and Deion Sanders, like, I'm looking at two guys who are genuinely actually friends in life, not just colleagues, correct?
I love Deion.
Okay, if he took the FSU job, is it over?
I would love for Deion to get that job. Absolutely love it.
Would you actually wear Seminole gear, which is just there? That feels like a bridge too far, right?
No, I wouldn't wear it. Okay. No, I couldn't wear it.
All right.
I couldn't wear it. And let me say, I would love it. And my head would love it. My heart and my love for him would love it. Now, my heart and my love for Miami would hate it, because he would be a great recruiter. A great recruiter. The kids would love to go play for him. He does that right now in Dallas. You know, he has kids that want to come and play for him because he cares about kids, man. And he knows people that he brings around. These kids can get knowledge. His plight is the plight that a lot of these kids are trying to walk. And if you can get that knowledge from your head coach, the guy that's talking to you every day about how to make that, not only make it in the league, but how to prosper once I get in the league and prosper even after I leave the league, why would you not want that information readily available to you? So I know he would do a great job in recruiting. Now, all of the stuff you got to do with the alumni and all of that, that's going to be tough.
That's for the coordinators, Mike. Just send the coordinators out to do that stuff.
Yeah, that'll be tough for him to deal with. But he would be a great head coach and a great recruiter.
Michael, thank you so much, man. Always a pleasure to talk to you. Always great.
Excuse me for the coughing again, guys. I apologize.
Don't you worry about it. Your coughing is better than most of the sentences we get from our other interviews. So thank you very much.
See, now you made him cough.
Yeah, let the man go before we hurt him. Let the man go.
I think you killed him.
I'm so sorry. That was Michael Irvin's last appearance here on 95.7 The Game. Not sure if he's going to make it to next week. We can find out when he doesn't do Sunday night. He's not going to be here Sunday night. He does Thursday night football.
Yeah,
that's right.
We'll see how he's doing Thursday night. Hopefully alive.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.